Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson. Delighted to have you with me. It is Wednesday. The phone number here is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. It took me a minute to figure out what day it was. I guess I really am in the right job because I got in here on Monday and Tuesday, and at the end of the show on both days, I was like, how is it 3 o'clock? We still got another hour. I feel deprived of an hour and I'm not. So today is kind of easy because a bunch of the stuff that I needed to talk about on Monday and Tuesday is still there. It's still relevant. But before I get into any of that, I need to talk about Simone Biles. Now, listen, I got to say up front, you don't have to have an opinion about everything. One of the problems, I think, in the 21st century is that so many people think you have to have an opinion about absolutely everything. And you really don't. You don't have to have an opinion about a particular team, a particular person, a particular athlete. You don't have to have an opinion about a particular food, a particular trend. You just don't have to. But nowadays, it just seems like everyone expects everyone else to have a strongly held opinion on something. And I had a strongly held opinion on Simone Biles, and I think I've gotten it wrong and want to spend just a few moments on that. But first, I want to note kind of the dynamics out there. It is, I can tell you exactly where every single person is going to fall on this issue. If you're a dude and you got a lot of bravado, you're going to be on the, this was weak, this was pathetic, how dare she? If you're a dude and you're all in the beta male, I give to Planned Parenthood camp, it's like, oh, she's such a brave hero. And if you're a woman who thinks she should have toughed it out, you've got to pound your chest and roar like a guy. You don't have to have an opinion. I will tell you, my immediate reaction was that this was weak. This was pathetic. Using mental health. And, you know, she didn't help herself with her statement. One of her statements was, it's okay to sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself. Maybe she should have thought of that before going to Tokyo. But at the end of the day, is there any data that can help us make up our mind as opposed to just screaming and pounding our chests about it? Is there any data? And, you know, there is data, and it comes from Dan Wetzel. He is a sports columnist at Yahoo News, and he points out that actually, had Simone Biles stayed in the competition, the U.S. may not have medaled at all. They got the silver medal. They may not have medaled at all had she stayed in. Now, why? Her vault score was very low. It was 0.534 below her teammates and 0.7 below the lowest Russian score. Russia took a commanding 1.067 lead because of it. And the U.S. can't win silver if Simone Biles is scoring the way she was scoring. So her stepping aside was not letting her team down, it appears. Her stepping aside was actually allowing her team to put someone in better who could do better and elevate the team to potentially medal. And they wound up getting silver again. Based on the way she was scoring, it does very much seem, based on the data, not on my punditry, not on what somebody said on TV who you like, but based on the actual data of how she was performing, there's no way they would have gotten silver or gold had she stayed in. Maybe bronze, maybe, but maybe not even that. And she would have risked injury. You don't have to have an opinion on it, though. I don't care. But, you know, it is just striking to me. And I admit I fell into this camp. Your gut level reaction. And the question is, given the data, are you able to change your mind? Are you dogmatic or not? And I actually do think that given the data, I've got to change my mind. I find it very, very predictable, the camps that people fall in and the like on this sort of stuff. And I don't think you have to have an opinion on it, but that's my opinion. But I do have something else here that I think is worth pointing out. I don't think the story really should be Simone Biles there. This is now the third female athlete in the Olympics who has stepped aside because of mental health issues. And it does make me wonder overall with Team USA what's going on. And not only that, she's one of the gymnasts. And while you and I can think she let the team down or not, you and I can think, and I actually am in the camp that thinks maybe she should have had more soul searching before Tokyo. But I understand the pressures as the media was building her up as some sort of face of the Olympics, the GOAT, the greatest of all time and the like, that There was extraordinary pressure for her to go. But Team USA, the gymnastic side, is still dealing with the fallout of Larry Nassar, who abused the girls. And Simone Biles apparently was in the camp of people who were affected in some way by Larry Nassar. And we're still seeing the fallout of that. And if anything, this is part of the chickens coming home to roost for the gymnasts and the gymnastics coaches and the leadership of the gymnastic side of the Olympics, who turned a blind eye to what he was doing and let it continue on for a while. I just think that we got to be mindful of the situation and that it's more complicated than you or I may think. But I also think that we don't necessarily have to go out and condemn her and attack her. And it's just very predictable how everybody came to their opinion without even considering the data out there. There's something else, though, that I think we need to consider here. And this goes back to the media, not just NBC here, but a lot of it is NBC. NBC, when they tell the story of the Olympics, they would rather give you the sympathetic bios of the Olympians than actually show you the freaking sport. You're in the middle of watching women's volleyball. Well, you can't do that because they're not in burkas, so the feminists don't want you to actually watch women's volleyball. So they switch over to the sympathetic profile of one of the volleyball players who's on the court right then, who you're cheering for, and now they want to tell you all about this athlete. And then they do this with Simone Biles. The profiles of her, the covers of magazines of her, they elevate her, and they elevate her in such a way that you wish to root for her. They make her seem invulnerable, and then she goes out there and can't compete, and she lets a lot of people down. And there is an extraordinary level of pressure that they themselves put on her. It does, of course, give a twist to the Olympics that she's out. Team USA hasn't done fantastic, and it's just... I said this with soccer, that you root against America, I root against you. I feel that way with the women's soccer team. I think that way with the women's soccer team, that they are a bunch of women who are aging out of the sport, who can't let go, who are turning into progressive grifters, woke grifters. Megan Rapone, apparently, I mean, if you listen to some of the women who are on the team on background or women who left the team, she made it a toxic environment. We always talk about, have you ever noticed, we talk about toxic masculinity. What about the toxic femininity? The toxic atmosphere that people like Megan Rapone create. And, you know, nobody in the media wants to talk about it. People in the media, they're on her side. But there's actually a lot of people who have spoken on background about this and people who've left the team who said she created a toxic workplace. She created a toxic place for people to be on the team. You're either on her side or you're bad. No grace for her. She's one of the worldly ones. But nobody gets to talk. She gets elevated by the media. She gets elevated. Now she's in that horrible Subway commercial where she's so obnoxious, she's kicking people's food choices out of their hands, essentially telling them, you got to eat Subway instead. It's better. I just can't bring myself to go to Subway watching stuff like that. They're going to be that preachy in their nonsensical ads with her. But nonetheless, these people get elevated by Team USA. People like Megan Rapone, they get elevated to cult-like status by progressives in the media, who expect you to bow and worship her. Simone Biles as well gets dragged into it, and she played a role. She was willing. Clearly, there's a lot going on there. But again, on a data-driven approach to this, and not just my gut reaction, I think my gut reaction was wrong based on the data, that actually, had she stayed, Team USA would have done worse than silver, given the way she was scoring, and I think we should be mindful of that. Now, one last word on the Olympics here. I have not really paid a ton of attention to it other than these sorts of stories, and continue to, and not because I don't like the Olympics. It's just, it's very weird this year. The NBC viewing experience is just so terrible. I mentioned this on Monday, I think, having sat on the front porch on Sunday. So I've got an Apple TV. I really do like my Apple TV. If you're looking for a streaming device, it's the more expensive option compared to like the Chromecast or the Amazon Fire Stick. But I think it does so much better, has so many more options. And if you're in the Apple cult like I am, you get so many more things that you can use. but it's got a bunch of apps. And so I've got the NBC has an app. NBC Sports has an app. NBC now Peacock has an app. Within Peacock, there are a bunch of things. And then I guess there's the USA Channel app. You got the CNBC app. And the experience is just spread out across all of these apps. You can tell that NBC has a monopoly because they really could not care less about your viewing experience. It is an atrocious viewing experience. They could create a single consolidated app for all of their coverage. And to my knowledge, they have not done so. And if they have, they certainly haven't shared it. And it's making it harder for me to want to care about the Olympics and pay attention to the Olympics when, first of all, they don't really want to run stuff in real time unless you've got some random app that you can play on a streaming service so that you can see. And then by the time you get to watch the stuff at night, you already know who won. We've always had that problem, but it seems like in the past, they've done a better job of covering that sort of stuff. So I'm just not really enthusiastic about watching it. I'll watch some of it. I've watched some of it. It's just not really a pleasant viewing experience the way NBC has it designed. Now, I want to close out this segment with one more point here, because I think this is probably the larger point than the Simone Biles stuff. And then we'll move on because we got to talk about masks and Dr. Fauci. Oh, man, y'all got to hear the Dr. Fauci montage. You've got to hear the Fauci montage. I've got it. I will play it. But one more point for you to consider here. You don't have to have an opinion. If you want to agree with me, God bless you. If you want to disagree with me, God bless you. I'm happy to take your phone call, 877-973-7425, if you agree or you disagree. But you don't have to have an opinion on this. You really don't. I guess I do because I have a radio talk show. And I'm supposed to be an opinionated radio show, talk show host, and that's what I do. But I'm telling you people, you don't have to have an opinion on it. And it's all going to be okay. Now, when we come back, the mask mandate. Dr. Fauci wants you back in masks. And yeah, we got to spend a little bit on the January 6th nonsense too. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number, should you wish to be a part of this here program, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I need to have a word with you, if you will. I have a daily, well, and mostly daily, 5 days a week, occasional on the weekend newsletter. It's my Substack. Substack is all the rage these days. I got in early. Philip told me not to do it, and I ignored him, and I'm glad I did. I like to hold that over his head. I hope you might consider subscribing to it. You can actually just sign up for free. There's some additional paid content. I'm actually about to start doing some very specific stuff on Georgia for actual paid subscribers and the like. But you can get a lot of the commentary for free, including the stuff today I wrote about Simone Biles and also about the January 6th commission. And I want to put this in proper context for you. So with Substack, I can monitor subscriptions and unsubscribes. Yesterday on this program and in my Substack newsletter, I noted that, you know, what happened on January 6th is being revised into something it was not, a overwhelmingly peaceful occurrence. And let me put this in perspective for you. There were tens of thousands of people in Washington who were peaceful. And no one's really talking about that. We're talking about the people who stormed into the U.S. Capitol. It was not an armed insurrection to overthrow the country, but it was also not just peaceful protesters. There were some people who just wandered in and said, oh, everybody else has gone in. Let's go see what's going on. But the woman who was shot and killed, sadly, tragically, she wasn't a hero. She's not a martyr. She was part of a mob trying to break down a door to get to members of Congress, who in the security video, you can see them fleeing for their lives. That is the truth. And some people can't handle the truth. You should see the hate mail I got yesterday from people for talking about this. You can also see yesterday, visibly see the unsubscribes for me pointing that out. And it's amazing to me how people, when they don't want to be confronted with truth, react by getting mad at you for speaking the truth and running away from you. You know, the devil likes to speak in facts. The devil doesn't really lie. He speaks in facts, but he doesn't tell you the truth. And that's something we've got running rampant in society right now. It is a fact. There were a million, 70 some odd million people voted for Donald Trump. Peace, love, and Americans who love their country. It is a fact. Most of the people in Washington, D.C. On January 6th were peaceful protesters. It is a fact that a lot of the people who went into the Capitol and were arrested for trespassing were just there to see what was going on. That is absolutely a fact. But it really doesn't tell you the truth. The truth is an angry group of people broke into the Capitol, smashing doors, vandalizing various offices, some with nooses, looking for Mike Pence and others, because they wanted to stop our Republican form of government from operating in the way it is designed to operate under the Constitution. And that's the truth of what actually happened. Nobody really cares about grandma roaming the U.S. Capitol with her iPhone upside down, trying to figure out beyond why her thumb is in the picture, taking pictures of all the people inside the Capitol. No, we're worried about the people who were standing inside the United States Senate with zip ties. And the fact that some people send me hate mail and think that I'm lying to them, when they're the ones being lied to, I don't quite understand that. There's clearly something going on in society right now that is deeply spiritually unhealthy, that people could react that viscerally and that angry to call the phone number here. You should see the phone lines here. To call the phone number, to email, they got to click unsubscribe because I've dared confront them with the actual truth. That's sad. There's something deeply spiritually malignant growing in our country. But there's something else, too. It was not 9/11. And anyone who says that January 6th was akin to 9/11 is as stupid as the brain, bison, helmeted biblical donkey who stood on the floor of the Senate, the QAnon shaman guy. It was nothing compared to 9/11. And if you think it is, you're not right in the head. Also, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. The Democrats and the media are obsessed about January 6th and are giving it maximum spotlight because they think it will hurt the Republicans next year. They genuinely believe it will hurt the Republicans next year. That's why they're playing it up. It has way more to do about that than it has to do with anything related to actually finding out what happened on January 6th, which we don't really even need because we already know what happened. This is about next year. They're convinced it's going to hurt the Republicans. You know, I know enough about the way elections work, having run campaigns in my life, that no one's going to go into the polling booth in November of next year and mutter to themselves, well, I nearly got mugged getting here. My kid just learned he's a racist because he's white. The police have been defunded around here. Crime's out of control. Bread costs $6 a loaf. My gas is $10 a gallon. But man, I'm going to vote against those Republicans who didn't participate in January 6th because some of them supported Trump, who's not on the ballot. Y'all, I'm sorry. If you think that's a strategy for the Democrats, you are really out to lunch. It's not going to really matter. And all that's going on right now is redefinitions by activists. And they think it's going to help the Democrats. It's not. Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. If you want to be on my program nationwide from my flagship station, WSB in Atlanta, you can call 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Maybe we'll take your calls. Maybe we won't. You got to get past the call screener. You can also get me at EW Erickson across social media. And by the way, if you text the word data to 33777, I mentioned this my Substack earlier. I don't think I told you how to get it. If you text the word data to 33777, that's the phone number to text it to, you'll get back a link to some pieces I wrote and also generally to my Substack link. If you put in your email address, a lot of the stuff you'll get for free. Some of the stuff is just for people who pay to subscribe. And frankly, if you want to subscribe, it's $7 a month or $70 for a year, and you help make me uncancelable. You know, I've actually lost advertisers in the past for being a conservative, actually really for being a Christian. if we're honest about it, because the stuff I was attacked for was stuff I have said on radio, deeply tied into my worldview as a Christian. And I have had advertisers walk away from me. We've had a couple of advertisers say they won't advertise on the podcast of the show because of my, frankly, Christian worldview. And that's really what it is. They don't like some of the social commentary that I make. And I'm not going to back down from it. But by subscribing, you actually kind of make me uncancelable. If nothing else, it helps cover the cost of the satellite to syndicate this radio show. So text the word data to 33777. I say that in particular and intentionally because I try very hard with what I write and what I do here now, because I think it's very crucial more and more these days to not just give you the facts of what's going on, but actually tell you the truth about what's happening. Like I mentioned in the last segment, you know, the devil gives facts. He just doesn't tell you the truth. You can give some facts and withhold other facts and kind of shape a worldview without giving the complete picture of stuff. And I want to give you the complete picture right now on vaccines, which I don't think the media is doing. I think the government is scaring people. Headline, January 9th, 2021, from the Associated Press. Vaccinated teachers and students don't need masks, CDC says. Headline, July 27th, 2021, just 2 weeks later. CDC will recommend everyone in K-12 schools wear a mask regardless of vaccine status in new guidance. I find that appalling. The CDC even wants you to wear a mask outside if you're a kid, which I just find absolutely appalling. And by the way, there is new data out there that the kids who are having to do Zoom calls and remote learning are falling further and further behind, and they most happen to be minority students. I think this is absurd. You know, I don't want to get into a big debate on masks with you. I think if you understand the data of the masks, you understand that if an infected person wears a mask, it helps mitigate some of the spread, not all of it. If all of the uninfected people wear one along with the infected person, it helps mitigate the spread further. It's not a cure-all, but it does. But also, I think if you understand the way the masks work, you realize that nobody knows how to use masks. I was in Belk, which if you're not familiar with it, is a department store. I was in Belk last night. There was a family of five. All of them were wearing masks. All five of these, the mother, the father, and the three kids were all wearing masks. The mother had her mask pulled down below her mouth. The father and two of the kids had their masks pulled down below their nose. The third child had the mask on right, but only had the upper strap down, so the bottom strap was flopping around. It was a two-strap mask. It had had the upper strap on and not the lower strap. The lower strap was just kind of hanging there, flopping on their chest. And I'm like, you know, this is why masks will never work. This is why the mask mandate is ridiculous at this point. No one's going to use them. And also, we have some data out there that I find very, very interesting. The data shows us, the data, not the anecdotal information. The data shows us where people are getting COVID. It is not from mask gatherings, mass. It is not from mass gatherings of the unmasked or masked. It is in private gatherings in people's homes where people aren't going to wear a mask. People just aren't going to hang out together wearing masks. And that's where people are getting COVID. So at this point, the mask mandate, there's no reason to bring it back. And also, it's a hell of a message to tell the vaccinated people of America that, well, thank you for doing your part. Now put your mask back on. You could be a threat to someone else. No, I did my part. Why am I going to wear a mask again? Why am I going to go back to wearing masks when I took one for the team? I got my vaccine. Someone else chose not to get the vaccine. They're playing the odds. Let them play the odds. They want to play the odds. Let them play the odds. That's not heartless. It's what they want. It's no shame in that. If you don't think you're going to get it or you're perfectly healthy and you don't care if you get it, and if you get it, you're going to have natural immunity and you're not going to have to worry about the vaccine, go for it. I don't care at this point. What I care about is that the government has been sending mixed messages for some time. Now, the reason I want to tell you this is because a friend of mine prepared a montage. And in the montage, he takes Dr. Fauci and he takes clips of Dr. Fauci and he puts them in non-chronological order, which he's getting attacked for. But people don't tend to hang on to all the chronological aspects of this. And I think it's worth putting into perspective Dr. Fauci's commentary on masks, because it will help you understand why so many people are confused or skeptical otherwise.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater.
Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective.
But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.
I think you can get the point there. Now, listen, let's be fair here. Those are edits, and they were not in chronological order, so they don't really show the evolution, but that's the way people's minds work. And, you know, Fauci, the Surgeon General for Donald Trump, has even come out and said he wished he had done a better job of talking about masks at the time. The reality is that first they said don't wear them, then they said wear them, then people who wore them, they were still getting the virus. A lot of them were getting the virus in places where they weren't wearing the mask. They weren't getting them in places where they were masked. Some people were getting them where they were masked because some people who had the virus weren't wearing them. The whole thing got very muddied. But at this point, you got so many people vaccinated, it doesn't matter. It should not matter. You should not need to wear a mask. Now, what is the data on this? What does the data actually show? With breakthrough infections, I was actually reading a infectious disease specialist, and she said breakthrough infection doesn't really matter. It's breakthrough disease. Do you actually get debilitating symptoms from COVID on this? And actually, it is 0.098% of vaccinated people are getting the symptoms. And of those, virtually none are getting hospitalized. And of those, virtually none are dying. It doesn't mean no one's dying. Some people are, but overwhelmingly, it's very, very small. Now, the same CDC that wants your kids to wear masks indoors and outdoors, despite what the science says, by the way, it would be better for schools just to open windows and let the air circulate. The same CDC is also the same CDC that tells you don't eat raw cookie dough. I'm not going to give up my raw cookie dough, and I'm not going to put back on a mask. Now, there's one caveat to this. If a private business puts up a sign or a government puts up a sign and says, don't come in without a mask, I'll go in with my mask on. because it's their business and they get the right to tell me whether or not they want me to be there and how they want me to be there. It's the same as no shirt, no shoes, no service, no mask, no service. I'm fine with that. It's their business. They get to control it. You don't get to control it because you're not a communist. The communists get to control it, and I'm not a communist, and I don't want to control their business. But going back to a mask mandate at this point is absurd. Also, the messaging really is terrible there. The, hey, you've got to wear a mask because you've been vaccinated and you could be a threat to other people because you could get the virus still and have it spread. Now, interestingly enough, I did have a couple of epidemiologists tell me that there's some misunderstanding and that you got to follow along with me on this one. And I've heard it from enough credible people. I'm going to pass it along to you that it's not that you get the vaccine and you have a 95% chance of being safe and a 5% chance of getting it. And so you miss it. You encounter 100 people with COVID and 95 of them don't give it to you. And the 96th person does. That's not the way it works. It is you have a 100% chance of not being able to get COVID if you've been vaccinated, except for 5% of the people who have a 100% chance of getting COVID if they're exposed to it. So basically, with your 95% immunity, you're either immune or you're not. And 95% of people have 100% immunity. Now, with the Delta variant, it's different. The data is still out there, but it's still over 70%, it seems. There was an original Israeli study that showed it was like 35%. But even the Israelis now are actually coming back and say, no, actually, it's higher than that. So keep that in mind. It's Eric Erickson. I am still here. This is still my show, and you are welcome still to be a part of it. On the phones, 877-973-7425. By email, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, at ewerickson.com. I mentioned this story, and I want to just delve into it just a little bit here. This is a headline from the New York Times. The story dropped this morning. Headline, the pandemic hurt these students the most. Subtitle, new research shows that all groups are behind in math and reading after disruptions during the pandemic, but it's the most vulnerable students who experienced the deepest setbacks. How much did the pandemic affect students? The latest research is out and the answer is clear, dramatically. In math and reading, students are behind where they would be after a normal year, with the most vulnerable students showing the steepest drops, according to two new reports from the consulting firm McKinsey & Company and the NWEA, a nonprofit organization that provides academic assessments. The students did not just stall early on. The setbacks accumulated over time and continued even after many students returned to the classroom. The reports echo the outcomes from Texas and Indiana, some of the first states to release test results from the past school year. Both states showed significant declines in reading and math. The findings paint an alarming picture of an education system plagued by racial and socioeconomic inequities that have only gotten worse during the coronavirus pandemic. An educational gap became a gulf. It's a bitter pill to swallow, said Karen Lewis, a senior researcher at the NWEA and the lead author of the organization's report, which was released on Wednesday. It just keeps you up at night. For example, in math, Latino third graders performed 17 percentile points lower in spring 2021 compared with the typical achievement of Latino third graders in the spring of 2019. The decline was 15 percentile points for Black students compared with similar students in the past, and 14 for Native students, that is, American Indian students, if we're allowed to say that anymore. I don't know if you guys know what Natives are. I mean, I'm a Native. You're a Native. According to the NWEA report, Asian and white students also underachieved compared with the performance of similar students in 2019, but the impact was less severe at 9 percentile points each. The report used data from about 5.5 million public school students in third through eighth grade who took the NWEA's tests during the 2020-21 school year and compared their performance to similar students in 2019. So not the same students, but similar students. There is that caveat, but we all know this is true. We all know this happened. And by the way, notice that they're not claiming the standardized test. For purposes of this story, they are not claiming the standardized tests are racist. Usually, They claim the standardized tests are racist, but no. Now they want to show you that lockdowns were what caused the racial harm, not the standardized tests. So they conveniently leave out they think the standardized tests are racist. And they're not, by the way. The standardized tests are not racist, but there you have it. They sure seem to think that they are racist. And now the CDC wants kids to go back to masks. How much longer before the teachers' unions start saying, maybe we need to shut down again. Maybe we need to not go back to school. So there's a charter school near me. It's a very large charter school, state-funded charter school. And it has said that there's no way, no how, that they are going to make their kids wear masks. I suspect my kids' school is going to say no to masks. But the county I live in, and a lot of counties in Georgia now, are going back to masks all the time in school. And remember, the CDC in the past has said, and they're saying again now, that your kids need to wear masks outside, even on the soccer field. It is going to be 100, 102 degrees in Macon, Georgia, where I live this weekend. Let me pull up I'm running the beta of iOS 15. According to this, on Friday in Middle Georgia, where I am, it will be 101 degrees. And on Saturday, 100 degrees. Gosh, I'm getting a new roof put on my house. At least, well, by Tuesday, it'll be 84. 50% chance of rain, though. But anyway, in any event, it's going to be hot. And they want your kids back in masks, even outside. It's not going to happen. I'm not putting my kids in masks. My kids have already said, do I have to wear a mask? I'm like, you're fully vaccinated. You don't need to wear a mask. I don't think your kids do. I don't think you do. Now, I am taking a trip to Las Vegas in a few weeks. Unless I can finagle a ride on Priority Jet or something, I'm going to be wearing a mask on Delta. On a private plane, you don't have to. Another reason to have one. Not only do they not yell at me in the airport anymore, but nonetheless, you got to wear masks in the airport. The government, you got to wear masks in government buildings. The White House is having masks back. I just continue to think it's a terrible message. And also now we know that shutting schools down, one, it was never necessary. If we're taking data-driven approaches, the data showed it was not in any way, shape, or form necessary to shut down schools. And yet we did. The data shows we didn't need to. And in fact, when schools reopened, remember in Georgia, it was one of the first places to reopen and they showed the scenes. And where was it? Cherokee County, Georgia, and Cobb County, Georgia, all the kids in the hallways. And you didn't have the mass outbreaks they said was going to happen. Now there's, the Delta variant, it's more susceptible. Yeah, but really not super. And the survivability rate is still high. I'm still an advocate of vaccines. And I had been an advocate of masks, but let's be real here. No one's going to wear them. It's time to move on, folks. Time to move on. And we will when we come back.